Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a wine with several marks against its soul. A, it is a tribute wine. B, it is a confab. C, it's from Paso Robles. But D, it got 95 points from Robert Parker. Well, what is it? It's the M by Mac and Billy Cabernet from Paso Robles. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here.
On tonight's show, we have a wine that has many marks against its soul. First, and I think I said this in the open, first, it is a tribute wine. It's a tribute to maverick winemakers throughout California. That's the first thing. It is a confab between two gentlemen that both work together at a winery, and this is separate from that, apparently. Now, one of them you might know, one of them you shouldn't know, but the one, the Mac, this is M by Mac and Billy, so the Mac is McPrice Myers. His nickname is Mac. If you like a man that wears dark sunglasses and all black in his picture on his website, go to McPrice Myers Winery. And you'll see his gorgeous picture with his shitty beard and his you know, high and tight.
Oh, Lord.
Not a handsome man. Shitty. That's okay. Beard. I mean, I think I would probably wear all black, too.
You are wearing all
black.
And
wear a ski mask. I am.
And a shitty beard. And
And the other is Billy Grant. He is the Billy. Now, Billy, you might know him if you're a fan of Zinfandel, that's from California, because he is a co-founder. Not the only founder, but a co-founder of Four Vines. They make Zin, they make Cab. We've had him on the show before.
Yeah.
Didn't love him.
Yeah.
But he sold that out years ago, and it's owned by, I forget who it was. So he took a job as the head of business development and a brand partner with McPrice Myers Winery. And then that's where Mac is located. Now, strangely enough, on their website, on the McPrice Myers website, Venus Lau is listed as the owner and style guru. So apparently Mac doesn't own, maybe just a head winemaker. I don't know. I just know he wears sunglasses. That's all I can say. You know, I think he would like to be Charles Smith. I mean, that's just what he wants to be, but he isn't.
I think he's a fine looking young man. Yeah, I mean, how could you tell what he really looks like? It's kind of a cartoon caricature.
Why is he wearing sunglasses in that picture?
Because his future's so bright.
He had pink eye. That's what it was.
Well, yeah.
You know. My pupils were dilated. I was at the optometrist, asshole. Don't make fun of me. That's what happened. That's right. I wear sunglasses sometimes.
Yeah.
It's when I go into adult bookstores, so they won't notice me. I've seen him in those stores, strangely enough. And he follows me around.
With a baseball bat, like most people follow you around?
No, he's watching me to make sure I don't shoplift. I'm thinking, how, the one time, Scott, I got to tell you this, they had this 24-inch long dildo, and I stole it. Guess where I hid it? I'll give you three guesses.
Somewhere in your sweatpants.
No, oh, no. Well, yes.
You poked it in your ear?
No.
You stuck it under a ball cap?
No. I gave myself the teaser, but I didn't tease myself, if you get my drift. So, you know. Anyway, McPrice was the floor walker, and he didn't get to do that. He's not very good at his job, I don't think. So, you know. But this one. This is Cabernet. 100% Cabernet. Is it 100% Cabernet? Let me take a look here real quick.
What kind of a first name is McPrice? It's a little unusual. I don't know that I've ever heard of a first name that's a McMac.
I don't know. You were already defending him. You can't make fun of him now.
I'm just curious about the name.
Well, this is a separate product from that winery anyway. So it's kind of, they have their own website and everything. It is 100% Cabernet, 11,000 cases. Well, 11,746 cases made. So it is, it's $30. 20 months on French oak and oak barriques, French and American, 20% of which are new. And it's sourced, there's another thing, from multiple areas in Paso Robles. None of which are ones that I know to be something I'm excited about, except for Bootjack Ranch, because I like the name. One is Wilderness. I don't know Wilderness. It's just out in the woods. I assume that's a place in Paso. Wilderness AVA or Wilderness Valley, or they just grew some shit in the woods. You know, Mac was, it's next to his marijuana crop is what it is, and he's hiding it from the authorities. They never told him it's legal now, and, you know, that and the moonshine still.
He's busy.
You know, yeah. But as we said before, Robert Parker did review this wine, did love it. We're going to read that review. Well, you already said someone from Robert Parker's place liked it. And I, from what I understand, they like a lot of the things that the winery makes, well, the greater McPrice Meyer's winery makes. And McPrice Meyer is not cheap. The cheapest stuff they have is High on the Hog red wine. It's very exciting. Or Bowl by the Horns red wine. Or it's a Cabernet, actually, which is equally exciting. They have Line of Descent, which is sold out. It's their sparkling wine. You can buy Celle de Terre or L'Orange Rouge. I know you're going to run out for that. Brave Fortune, Atlas Vignas, Fiat Accomplé, Cuvée Christina, Celle de Terre. Oh, that's another one. Accoutrement. That's nice. And no, they have a Hommage de Stéphane Lannard. They have a Viognier. They have a Paper Street Cuvée. Many things that are very, very exciting. All of which, none of which are cheap. They're in the $60 or $70 range. I know Scott's running out to sign up for the wine club right now.
Not exactly.
It comes with an Encyclopedia Brown book. You could read that instead
of
drinking.
I'm a little nervous about Paso Robles.
I'm a little bit nervous about sourced, confabs, tribute wines. And the guy wears sunglasses.
If it's not a Turley product, I'm a little nervous about Paso Robles generally. But Parker gave it a 95.
We like some things allegedly from Paso. We like Dow.
Yeah.
Justin.
Yeah.
Dow.
Yeah.
Justin.
Justin, I'll give a yes.
Yeah, I just had the most recent vintage of Justin not too long ago, their cab. It was lovely.
They know what they're doing, and they get that mouthfeel that's nice and that chocolate thing.
Well, that's what you're going for. You're looking for a chocolatey Cabernet. People that love Paso, they love the chocolate aspect of those wines. Very, very opulent in a certain sense. Maybe just a little bit thicker, richer fruit chocolate blend than you might get some other places. It's way beyond, way from, it's like the, it's the furthest thing you can get from a Bordeaux style.
Yes. You know? Sometimes it comes across as
can. It can go wrong.
A little sweet fruit sometimes.
It can go wrong if you're from Austin Hope. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So there's a happy medium there. Some wineries find it, some wineries don't. It just depends. Well, My Favorite Neighbor. That's a really good one.
We love My Favorite Neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And that's around this price range, too.
We really, 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 really liked or in love with My Favorite Neighbor.
Yeah, the Harriet
Harvey?
Yeah, Harriet Harvey. That's a really nice wine, and it's around this price range. Justin is around this price range. Triana is another one. That's Austin Hope, mind you, but it's not bad. It's in this price range. Dow is in this price range. So around that $30 range, what can you get in Paso Robles? I don't know. We will find out, though, as soon as we get back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So Scott noticed that wine.com states that this is a bit of a blend. It still does qualify as a Cabernet, but apparently Mac and Billy were too lazy to actually write all this out. It's 84% Cabernet, 6% Malbec, 5% Merlot, and 5% Petite Syrah. So, the reviews. We're going to start off with the wine enthusiast. Thank you. This is a Southern man. I'm here to read the wine enthusiast. And they provided this wine 91 of their points. And they wrote, this partnership between Paso Robles powerhouse players, that's not, they both work for the same damn company. How the heck? They write this themselves. Anyway, with aromas of black plum extract, graphite, tobacco leaf, and roasted meat on the lush, attractive nose. There's a firm edge to the palate, where charred wood and pencil shavings flavors meet with crushed black rocks, marjoram, and more black plum flavors. And Scott will read the Parker review.
Oh, will I now? I was in the vineyard. Robert Parker's Wine Advocate. I love this easy to drink 2021 Cabernet Sauvignon from McPrice Myers. Ooh, is that accurate? Is it really from McPrice Myers? That well over delivers for its price. Deep ruby purple. It has alluring aromas of cassis, pencil shavings, dried herbs, leather and lavender, plus classy touches of oak spice. The full bodied palate is concentrated and powerful without going over the top. It is abundant, grainy tannins, flinty streaks, and plenty of refreshing acidity to carry a long finish. It's not your average chocolate bomb, California Cabernet, despite its modest price tag. You know, if it's half of what whoever did that review for Parker says is in there, this is going to be a spectacular wine.
Maybe, maybe. Well, in the glass, it is dark. Very little translucent. Core of blackness there. I mean, there might be just a whiff of purple and crimson, but it's black. Looks not unlike a Shiraz.
Tasting notes, it talks about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five different districts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
John Vineyards, Beto, Armory, Bootjack Ranch, Wilderness, and Lago Vineyards.
Yeah.
None of which mean anything to me. Have you heard of any of those Paso Robles vineyards before?
Yes, I've studied many of the vineyards of Paso Robles, yeah.
Adelaida, Estrella, El Pomar, Creston, Geneseo districts.
Have you not studied the districts of Paso Robles?
No.
Have you not?
Nor do any of those ring a bell from our Turley purchases.
You think Turley's going to buy from there? Well, they have their own vineyards.
They also have their own, you know, they're involved in these different districts, and I don't ever recall any of these mentioned, so.
No. 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 It's where Jay Lohr buys from, probably.
Easy.
That's an insult to, apparently, Jay Lohr.
They're tasting notes. Chocolate blackberry ganache, cranberry preserves, sweet mint, black licorice, dark olive, new leather.
Not old leather.
Not old leather. New. Mahogany.
Mahogany.
Palate is sleek and supple. Firm, fine grain, polished tannins with a complex and classy finish.
Like me, I have a classy finish.
Jesus.
That's right.
Mac and Billy.
On the nose, it is not a shrinking violet.
In the glass, it looks the part.
No, I know.
A little bit of crystalline structure, which might indicate the acidity that they talked about.
Yep.
Rob has broken out the home run hitter, the big and bold cab glasses tonight.
Vanilla with plum.
Kind of.
Rosemary. Maybe a little marjoram.
Yeah, something, some herbal thing that you would cook with to make a red sauce. going to give it a little licorice on the nose, too.
Maybe like fruitcake.
Hmm.
Fruit nut loaf, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There's a candied element to it, but it's very subtle and not objectionable.
Listen, you can talk about people the way you want to, but I'm not going to have you be talking about Wilford that way.
Date?
You want to do what with him?
I want to date him. No. No, thank you.
Yeah, that, I don't know about the nuttiness of a fruitcake, but it has that similar dried candied fruit, candied
the
fruit
date,
thing going on.
Date, yep, aroma,
exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I think that
a little fig.
Kind of molasses thing you get going on with some of them, and that's there. Mm-hmm. And I think with that molasses is where I was talking about, like, the licorice thing, but...
No. I mean, you can throw that in there. It's kind of a, it's slightly muddled, but it's a fairly... How many wines do we pick out this many things on the nose? The nose is impressive.
And kind of an approachable nose. It's like a nose that even if you're not sticking your nose in it the way we do and taking our time, but you stick your nose in it, you know you'll like it. You know you'll like the aromas that this wine's demonstrating.
Also chocolate-covered cherry.
Rob loves to say chocolate-covered cherry.
Yet I don't like them, so I'm going to figure.
He loves them. Just like he doesn't like rosé, folks. Not. Mm. He's going in.
Oh, to be on Howl Mountain, because it's not Paso Robles. It's fine. I understand why Parker, because this is an intense wine. I understand why Parker reviewed it as such. Maybe not the score, mind you, but got very excited about it. The flavors are going to have to meld in my mouth a bit before I'm comfortable really expressing my emotions towards this wine, because it is a little bit different in a lot of ways. It's very ostentatious while at the same time not objectionable. It's very heady and thick on the palate. Very thick.
It has that Paso plumminess about it for me that none of the reviews really described. One of the reviews talked about not being a traditional chocolate bomb.
Yeah.
I think this could use a little more chocolate in the profile to balance out the other things that are going on. Let's give it a chance.
It's a beastly wine. It is unabashed. You know the fruit up front, that plummy kind of, not quite cherry, but somewhere in that range, that odd purple-red fruit kind of twinkle is undoubtedly a Paso cue. Everything tastes like that. After that, it becomes a very big, viscous wine. Tannins are there. They're quite big. It's a very tannic wine. It has rich oak.
Yep.
Not objectionable. Once again, though, it's smeared with it. And I would disagree. There is quite a bit of kind of a Black Forest ganache chocolate mid palate that kind of just then goes, that drips all the way across through the finish. But it's layered with that oak, which provides spice on the finish too, which is a little bit unique. It's a wine that I think would do better with a couple more years in the bottle, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe just stylistically, I'm comparing it to Justin, which is, you know, not in theory. Not
Justin's
as good
more
a wine.
Approachable.
And that chocolate's more in the mid palate.
Well, everything is a little bit more subtle, a little bit lighter with the Justin.
Except the chocolate. That comes through. It's a chocolate bomb.
But it's not. But Justin is a lot more laid back, sleeker version.
Stylistic.
Yeah, it's not this overt style where some of them. Where's Leviathan from? Is it Paso? Leviathan is a cherry chocolate bomb too. There are some wines that are made with that particular style in mind because there's a fan base that likes that. We're not really in that fan base, but that's fine. I mean, to each your own. It's not necessarily something that's bad. It's just it's a flavor choice, you know. And for those type of flavors, that kind of style, that bombasticness, I like to do a Zin as opposed to a Cab. That's got the same way. And so if someone that normally drank a Brambley lighter Zin drank like Turley's Uberuth, you'd be like, what the hell?
Right.
But for us, that's where we go for that. So I guess some people do go to Cab for that. And so you're looking for this big chocolate bomb or a cherry bomb. I've heard them referred to in that sense. And that's what you like. But for us, we like it in a different style, a different varietal, I guess, is what I'd say. So teach your own. I never really thought about that. But in reality, we like some Zins that are, you know, if you like anything from Amador that's a Zin, you know, a bigger Amador Zin. I mean, that's a pretty big, flashy, heady, punch-in-the-face wine, you know? We just don't necessarily gravitate to it for our Cabernet. We are maybe a little bit more, you know, little house on the prairie kind of Cabernet people.
You know? I'm on the Leviathan website. They're hiding where they're from.
Well, that's because they're from Croatia.
It's 707.
You're going to get a computer virus, probably.
However, it doesn't say what county they're from or an address at all. They don't want you to find them.
It's in a strip mall.
They don't want you to find them. It's weird.
It's behind the adult bookstore Wilford was going to probably. No, no, no.
Yeah.
That's where Jay Lohr is.
The tannin.
They actually have an adult bookstore at the Jay Lohr Vineyard. Have you been there, Scott?
I've not.
Really? Everybody just goes into the adult bookstore. They don't want to drink the wine. So, you know, they'll go in and sample different things like flavored lubes. That's better tasting. Trust me. Flavored condoms are better than J. Lohr wines.
It's harsh.
I know. I did a commercial for that. They didn't like that very much. But I said, hey, this flavor, you know, it was a weird flavor, too. I don't know why. It was pillow-flavored condoms. And I was like,
pillow.
Yeah, I didn't know what the flavor of a pillow was at that point. Then I learned, but still.
You probably should know what the flavor of a pillow is.
No.
Should be the last thing you taste.
No, there's evergreen flavored condoms. I'm thinking, why do you want to do that? It's weird. But it tastes better than J. Lohr wines.
Oh, Lord.
Scott, do you know what my Halloween costume is? You forget about that? Condom fingers?
Oh, Jesus.
Every dim finger it has a different flavor of condom.
Listen, Wilfred.
What?
J. Lohr Hilltop is in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame.
I don't know. Have you ever had the peach condom? You probably have, looking at you.
No,
taste it sometimes.
Sir,
it doesn't have to be on a gentleman for you to do that. You could put it on your own finger and put it in your mouth. That wouldn't look weird at all.
No,
you'd like it so much, you'd be driving down the road with a condom hanging out of your mouth. This time, it wouldn't be as bad, probably, for you.
You are a sick some bitch.
Like, what you got in your mouth there, buddy? Nothing. That's what it would happen. Nothing in my mouth. You'd be pulled over by the cops and like, sir, we're distracted driving in Ohio is punishable. What do you have in your mouth? Nothing. Sir, we're going to have to open your mouth and see what you have inside. No, nothing. Sir, you're chewing on something we can tell. Oh, my God. You'd probably get arrested for that. I don't even know what the crime would be. I mean, it's just a, you know.
Apparently, Leviathan Winery is in the heart of Napa Valley, sir.
No good. There we go. Allegedly. So they can fuck things up in Napa Valley.
Yeah.
You can get a magnum of Leviathan right now for, what, 70, 80 bucks?
Is that right?
That's right.
Interesting.
I know. Do you want to do that?
No.
What do you want to do it? You want it, don't you?
I do not.
You want a magnum of Leviathan. I would like to buy a magnum of something, just not Leviathan.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on now.
What?
Leviathan 20. This is the California blend.
The 18 got a 94 from Jeb and a 93 from James. So, I mean, you know, the 20 got a 92 from Parker. 19 got, James really got off on it. He gave it a 95. Jeez. So they like this stuff. Might be good. I don't know. Never had it. It's a Bordeaux blend. Did you know that?
The 2020 is 56 Cab, 15 Merlot, 13 Petite Syrah, 7 Syrah, 5 Petite Verdot, 4 Cab Franc.
It might be good. We're just making fun of stuff because we're dicks. It's
sourced from such diverse regions as Red Hills, Lake County. How do you feel about Lake County, Mr. Dern?
Better than you do, but, you know.
Okay.
Genoc is from Lake County.
Okay.
Haven't you had the wonderful wine of Genoc?
I tend to avoid Lake County.
The 1997 Genoc Lake County, or no, North Coast Cabernet, got a 91 from the Spectator, and it was delicious.
Okay. How many of those Genocs have you had since then?
Well, I mean, none.
Okay.
I had their cab maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. And it was palatable?
Moving on.
Lake County, sir.
That was just bad. Genoc is cheap, man. It's like cheap, cheap, cheap. I mean, it's like dirt cheap. It's like, why are you drinking that cheap? We should drink some Leviathan, you know? We should do it. The Magnum, you know, if I didn't have a broken down Honda Odyssey, I mean, I'd buy some right now. So, you know. Damn those Hondas. Unreliable things. It's crazy. Although I have Faust Cabernet. I mean, I can't make fun of Leviathan if I have Faust. Faust is like its running buddy. So, but I bought it ridiculously cheap.
Like
so.
Faust is Leviathan's wingman?
Kind of. Like it's Iceman. Yes, they play beach volleyball together. And they get sand all over their shirt, their bodies, and they don't wipe off the sand. They just put the shirt on over the sand.
You're just doing a scene from a Tom Cruise movie.
Well, that is the scene. And that bothers actually the superstar. That really bothers the superstar that Tom Cruise plays beach volleyball without a shirt on. That doesn't bother the superstar, mind you. But then he's diving around in the sand, whatever. Then he just gets up and he just puts his shirt on. He doesn't wipe off the sand. He's like, yeah, I don't have any sand on me.
It really bothers him.
It does bother him. He's brought it up more than once.
But he has some issues.
You know, yeah. Really? Are you sure?
A large volume of toilet paper use.
Yeah. He could be right here right now. We wouldn't know. He's not on the show tonight, though. Is he?
No,
he's not.
Is he?
No, probably not.
Is he here?
He would love this wine because it's wet.
It's got alcohol in it.
That's right. Yes, it does.
So it's getting a little plummy for me. I'm going to be honest. And maybe that's my bias against the style.
I mean,
but it's starting to bug me a little.
I think it's good, very good, for what it is and where it is, where it's from. I mean, if you're drinking Paso and you really like Paso Cab, this is a must drink. It really is. However, if you aren't a big fan of Paso Cab, this is not a must drink.
Because it's Paso through and through.
Well, the reason why we like Dow and Justin is because they don't taste that Paso. Dow didn't take Paso at all. It's like it could have been from Sonoma, as far as we knew.
Yeah.
And Justin, it's sleeker, and it's just well made. It's not showy. Paso is sometimes showy in a way that we don't like in Cabernet. We like it in Zin.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
If you drink a Petite Syrah, I don't. But if you did, you do.
I do. Love them.
You know, that's why you do it.
It gives a Petite Syrah has a different thing going on where this, it's like.
But this is Cab doing this. This
plummy thing is almost like overtaking that oak that.
It's got pizzazz.
You know, smoky oak kind of.
Yeah, but sometimes the oaks, J-Lore, can wildly overpower the rest of the wine because it's just Purple Death and you know, an oak plank. This is not. This is crafted. This is well made. Mm-hmm. And it's not over oaked in the fact that no aspect of the wine overpowers it. It's just, it's personal preference issues, really. You have to kind of put those aside and start saying, hey, this is a style I don't love. However, within that style that I don't love, this is top of the class. It really is. Because it has weight, it has balance, it is complex. There are multiple notes. Let's break it down. I'll say it so you don't have to. Plum. I'll also say tobacco, because there is tobacco. That's showing now from the oak.
Yeah. I wish I saw that flintiness. I just feel like...
It could be there, but it's buried.
As this has opened up, it's gotten more... I'm not able to pick out the different notes. My first two draws on it, I felt like there was a little floral thing going on. And I'm searching for that and I can't find it. Also, as we've... Maybe I'm just thirsty because I'm halfway through my glass and you're not. But the oak seems less prevalent.
I added some.
How dare you?
I think the mid-palate hits very hard. And the oak and that Black Forest Ganache hit so hard that there's nuance there that you want to enjoy and want to experience. However, you're not able to because it's bracing. And so, yeah, you are sniffing out. You're like, because you're saying... Is this going to show some violet? Is this going to show some floral? Is this going to show more tobacco? Oh. And then it just, you know, jumps in, you know? It's like you're having a wonderful romantic moment with your lady, right? And, you know, things are going to, this never happens to you, but things are going to lead further. And then a circus clown runs in the room and throws a pie in your face, kind of, in a way.
Well, that is you when you're having a Friday night with the Triple B and you fuck it up by it. You open your mouth and you speak.
That's true, too.
And then clown, pie in face.
Well, it's not to say that this is that bad, but that is a funny analogy, so that's why I said it. But still, hello, my love. Then, hey, honk, honk.
Yeah.
Damn it. You know, I was a circus...
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
What does it have to do with this wine?
You wrote it.
Oh, Jesus.
You slide these people. You know, I was a circus clown once, Scott. Did you know that?
Were you?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
What was the favorite part of your act in the circus?
When I dropped my pants.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't do that at a kid's birthday party. They arrest you.
Good.
Why? Well, you know what's bad? It was a onesie that I was wearing, so it took quite a bit of effort to get naked.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. I was wearing a unitard.
Are you allowed to say that?
Don't be offensive.
Are you?
You were thinking about it. Last time you made fun of Mexicans, now you're making fun of that.
Wilfred Wrong says to the unlicensed taxi driver, don't be offensive.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, Lord.
I was talking about getting naked in front of kids at a birthday party. Then you had to be racist and all. You just go too far. That's all I know. This is a very drinkable wine. It's not grabbing a hold of our heartstrings and pulling on it, though.
It's like that first impression is different than what I'm having now. That first taste, that first pull... It seemed much more complex than it does now. I don't know. This is not a high alcohol, so it's not like my
14s.
Palate's being numbed. Yeah, 14 and a half, so it's fine. It's big enough. But I'm not feeling that complexity. Like my first mouth feel, my eyes were lighting up. I really, really liked it. And now, man, maybe it's just a personal bias. I just can't get over that plummy Paso thing. I felt like there was a little floral thing going on, and I felt like there was some minerality that they talked about it being flinty. I don't know if it ever got there.
I think that you give it 2 years in the bottle, it's going to show some more stuff. It's going to be a nicer wine. Question is, are you going to buy it at $30 for 2 more years when there's something called Hands of Time at the same price? No, you're not going to do that. It doesn't capture me the way it should for a 95 from Parker. I mean, We have had 95s from Parker, and you, sir, are no 95. You're not.
This is not a 95.
No, it's not a 95. It's not a 95 on any metric. That's a silly score.
There's okay, so let's just double back again. Let's just start over. Let's just give this thing a second chance.
Okay.
And let's go in. Let's give it a nice pull.
Yeah.
Draw air over it.
Oh, yeah.
And let's talk about what we see.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
When you go slowly, I think it shows more of its astringency, which
is a
nice feature to this cab blend, whatever you want to call it.
Very tannic and astringent.
Yes. But, you know, when you're just quaffing it, I don't think it appears as such.
Yeah.
And maybe, again, that's my personal bias. I'm just this Paso plum thing. I've just got to overlook that. Similarly, with, you know, nice slow pulling air over it, that oak is really well integrated.
Oh, it is.
With the tannic nature of this wine.
Yes, absolutely.
Star of the show for me is definitely the tannic backbone for a wine, which does go hand in hand with what you were saying. Maybe you could set it back for a couple of years.
It tastes on that pole. I cleansed my palate with some water, kind of settled down, really drew air. It's a very, very, very tight wine right now. It's not showing everything. It just isn't. And so, yeah, when I say 2 years, you're saying, boy, not 5 to 7. It's not 5 to 7. It's 2-3 years.
I mean, you could give it a shot, but... Maybe. I mean, maybe. But I wouldn't go that far. I would want to. Let's say I bought 3-4 bottles of this. I might try 1 at 2 and let a couple of them go further.
You might have a problem with your spending if you bought 3 or 4 bottles of this. But
It's been well established I have a problem with my spending.
Yeah, but you're not going to put it towards this, right?
Probably not.
I mean, you could, but then again, I have some things I could sell you ahead of time. I could sell you a John Deere mower, for instance. That might be a better purchase.
Autographed crusty sweatpants by Wilfred Wrong.
That's right. I'll write my own name on them with
a No. What? Don't go there. Don't
with
go
a pin,
there.
A felt tip pin.
I have a question.
Oh, Triple B is here.
I need to ask you a question off here.
Does she? She needs to ask him probably something he did wrong or didn't do. Or something. So, folks.
What's the difference?
That's right. We're going to take a break. But then, we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, off the other, Triple B did not yell at me. She just needed my expertise. That being said, Scott has admitted that we must not dislike this wine that much because we've almost drank the whole damn decanter down.
Yes.
Well, we are alcoholics, Scott.
We're thirsty.
Yeah. On tonight's potpourri, I have nothing scheduled, but I didn't even think of anything before we started. Normally, that's a bad way to do things, but...
Whatever we do is a bad way to do things. It is our show.
Well, it is true.
We have set new standards for that's a bad way to do things.
You know what? I've always said that's a bad way to do things to people, too. And you normally, you know, someone will be like, I'm at the Red Roof Inn. And they'll be like, would you like a drink? I'm like, well, why are you going in the other room to make the drink? Just that's a bad way to do things. And so then I drink the drink, which... Guess what, Scott?
It's a bad way to do things.
That's right. So then I wake up in the morning and I'm in some dumpster
with my pants off. But I wasn't wearing them when I got there. But I have stitches on the side of my body. You know what, Scott? That's a bad way to do things.
It's a bad way to do things.
You know what I did then?
What'd you do then?
I went to the hospital, and they looked at me and said, "Sir, where are your pants?" And I said, "Well, I got up this morning. I was in a dumpster, and I didn't have any pants on." You know what they told me?
That's a bad way to do things.
They did, strangely enough. And so then they had me arrested and put in jail. And you know what I said?
That's a bad way to do
that. Like, yeah, I know. So, you know, it just happens that way. Scott, have you thought of something to say as I did that whole thing? No, you haven't.
That's a bad way to do things.
It is. No. Tonight, Scott, I want you to pick one AVA for Zen.
Ooh.
Other than Howl Mountain.
Damn it.
Yeah. Tell me why you like it. And then I'm going to do the same thing. Could also be Cab. Cab or Zen?
Well, I think we can go a couple ways with this. I think we can talk about a couple things.
You can.
Sonoma cabs just have a little bit of a special place in my heart. We all know.
You can't talk about Sonoma. I took it away.
We all know that it's not the most. It doesn't have the most gravitas.
It does.
It doesn't have the most.
Haven't you had Silver Oak?
It doesn't have the most...
Slow down. Are you excluding Alexander Valley?
No, I'm not excluding anything.
Well, you should, because Alexander Valley has gravitas. This is made by Alison Krauss.
Allegedly. But it's
she
not
can't
Napa.
Spell gravitas. So, yeah.
It's not Napa. It's not the Washington Cabs.
Oh, my balls.
Easy, sir.
Balls.
Pasola Creek.
Test. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Special wine. Okay, go ahead.
But Sonoma, it's just got a certain drinkability that when you pose the question, you pose the game. It's Sonoma cabs are just, there's just an inherent drinkability that I would say if I was going to show somebody red wine who didn't drink red wine, I'm going to, here's what cab's about. And I would tell them, this is Sonoma. It's different, but I think you'll like it because it has a level of drinkability. And it just does. Sonoma cabs have a level of drinkability that you can count on.
Do Sonoma cabs have a level of drinkability?
Yes.
Good. For me, the last two bottles of wine I have drank this week, I would like to say that I...
This was 9 o'clock this morning, by the way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you're thirsty.
No.
What goes well with Eggs Benedict? I don't have any Eggs Benedict, but I'm going to have two bottles of wine anyway.
I'm just going to drink. Oh, okay. Well, that would pair well with Eggs Benedict. I'll just drink the wine. No. I did Turley Juvenile and then Turley Stacy Ranch. Not the same night, mind you, but last night I did drink a bottle of Stacy Ranch.
So, Turley Juvenile is from no known region. They didn't put it out.
This is the start of my discussion. So. The Stacy Ranch is from Lodi, and certainly I'm not going to say Lodi, right?
Well, I think you started off saying Lodi.
Well, I'm not going to. I'm going to actually go to Paso, since we're in Paso right now. Pacenti down there, the Pacenti Vineyard. But Paso Cabernet or Paso Zins, in general, can be wonderful. Ridge and Turley. Fuck everybody else. Fuck them in the ear. But they're down there. They make some great stuff. One thing I would point out, Uberuth, that's in Paso. It is. And so is Pacenti. Lovely. I just bought the Pacenti Grenache. Scott, did you get any of those?
I did not go for the Grenache.
You didn't get any Grenache?
Nope.
It's a Chateauneuf clone. Didn't you see that? It
I didn't
said
get
that. Chateauneuf. You didn't buy any Grenache.
I didn't buy any Grenache.
That's just a stupid. What did you buy in this offering?
Remember, I went all in on the Sauvignon Blanc for a birthday present for the princess.
Okay. She was excited about that?
Actually, I think I did get a bottle of Grenache. I just unpacked it today.
I got three bottles of Grenache.
Okay.
Two Cinsos and then one of the Rosé.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll just try it. You know, it doesn't.
I did
look,
get the rosé.
It's a wrong colored bottle.
No,
it's
I didn't go for the Cinso. I did not get the Cinso.
I like the Cinso. Cinso's lovely. A little Pinot glass. It's nice. It's a nice wine.
Fine.
Nice extraction on that wine. It's not going to set the world on fire, but no. Really, what I am going to talk about, though, In California, an AVA specific, Santa Cruz Mountains for the Cabernet.
What?
Yes, and guess where Santa Cruz Mountains are? Paso. Sort of. Santa Cruz Mountains sort makes of. Some of... Is
it's Central Coast.
Well, but it's on the coast. So, Santa Cruz Mountains has some of the greatest Cabernets known to man, really, in California.
What?
I know. I was waiting to see how they would react.
You're a freaking psycho.
Ridge Montebello. Ridge. That's just a standard. Via Mount Eden. Mount Eden. These are great, great bottles of wine. Martin Ray.
I left some for you there.
Thank you. These are great wines because they're huge and they're ageable and they're wonderful. That is an AVA that I enjoy.
Santa Cruz Mountains.
Santa Cruz Mountains.
How much Santa Cruz Mountains do you have in your cellar right now?
Off the record or on the record?
On the record.
I do have a couple bottles.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. It's your favorite AVA.
Well, no, because I can't afford it. I can't afford $300. How much is Montebello right now? $350?
That's not that.
I'd buy 10 bottles if I could.
It's Ridge Montebello's.
But I got a crappy Honda Odyssey that I have to put a strut on or something. It's all fucked up. I buy the Via Mount Eden when I buy it. It's a lovely one. I'm selective about that, but wonderful thing. I have a lot from Ridge, though. I need to buy their base Cabernet. I never get around to buying it. Every year I look at it and go, I should buy that. I should buy that. I don't.
Ridge Montebello is $250.
Still a good value. It's just I've never bought something that expensive before. I've gotten close.
Quisilla Creek, you didn't pay that much?
I didn't buy any. I've never bought Quisilla Creek.
I thought you did. I thought you had a couple bottles.
No, I have the CVR, but I never bought, or CRV, I never bought the Quisilla Creek. It's like $250. And I never can justify anything like that domestic. I can probably in the future justify that in Bordeaux, assuming that wine.com carries more than 28 bottles. I've spent $200 for Bordeaux a few times, but I've never bought anything domestically. The most expensive bottle that I bought was domestic was maybe the Via Mount Eden, and that's $100. Might be.
You haven't spent more
than that? I've also bought the Salvestrin Dr. Crane Vineyard Cabernet. That was up there. But those are all 100. Napa Nook, that's 90. I've never exceeded $100 for a domestic wine.
I thought that 100 Chateauneuf. Well, it's not domestic. I was going to say that 100 point Chateauneuf we bought.
100 point Chateauneuf?
It was a 99 point Chateauneuf. The one that came in the wax paper wrapping.
That was a 100 point, and that's a Bordeaux. That's Pichon Longueville.
Yes.
Yes.
That was more than
100. It's Pouillac. It was 190.
Yeah. Stralis, I paid.
Yeah, you paid a lot for Stralis. You had 180 Stralis. Though, didn't you? You got a good deal on that. You got a good value.
But it wasn't the 99 pointer. It was the 96 pointer.
Oh,
I got. I should have bought the 99 pointer.
I almost this week, but I didn't. Bought a bottle of the Ornello.
Okay,
it's $97 right now, but it's just not one of their better vintages, and so I was like, you know, it's like, oh, I got a bottle of Ornello. I spent $97 on it. But it's not really the best vintage. It got good scores, but they're saying it's more elegant than normal. It's not as powerful. And it's like, eh. I didn't pull a trigger.
It just...
It's hard to do. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get in that mood of throwing down the coin like that, even though, you know, you got great wines, but I didn't see one of those things as something I'm going to drink in 25 years. That's what I look for in something that's very expensive.
Yes.
I'm going to have that bottle here. It's going to grow old with me.
We're not wealthy men. We don't have...
Well, speak for yourself. But, you know.
Well, we're wealthy men in love and life, but in terms of financial abilities, we don't have limits. We have limits.
Well, everybody has limits. Well, some people don't have limits. Well, I mean, but they're from Saudi Arabia, so we're not. Well, they don't drink, though, do they? Or do they?
Of course not.
Well, you have to be selective. And right now, there wasn't anything for me that I'd be selective for. I would love to buy some Magnums, but there isn't anything really of note that's a Magnum that is a reasonable price. The only reasonable price is Leviathan. Who the hell? Oh, I'm going to collect Leviathan?
No.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
I'm just not going to do it. So and we're just talking about wine.com. I mean, your local stores, I'm sure, have a lot better shit than they do. In Ohio, anyway. If you're outside of Ohio, it's a candy store. Go buy what you want. But right now, they just don't have much. And that, yeah, so it comes down, I was going to say where to buy it from. I said Santa Cruz. But I need to buy some of the Ridge because it's reasonable. Martin Ray, though, they used to do, well, they still do, I'm sure, Santa Cruz Mountains. They also do a Diamond Mountain one from Napa. But those are pretty small production. I don't think you can buy those readily outside the winery. I've bought their Napa. We've had those a few times, several times, actually. It's pretty cheap. It's around $20 for a Napa cab. And it's fine. It doesn't really inspire confidence to go spend. I know that those are better wines, but spend $70, $80,
$90. I'll bet when you picked this game, you could have predicted me saying this. I've never had an Atlas Peak that I didn't just love for a cab.
Cab?
Mm-hmm.
What Atlas Peak cabs have you had recently?
Peak.
Well, yeah, there's Atlas Peak, but yeah, they don't make. I mean, I like Atlas Peak Zins.
I do too, but I've never had a cab that I didn't love.
No, I like Atlas Peak generally. It's there isn't a lot that comes out of there, but
it's just a great, great region.
Peter Franis makes great Atlas stuff from Atlas Peak in their cabs, or I'm sorry, their Zins. I mean, Turley doesn't make anything from their Atlas Peak currently, but. When they did, I think they don't have that right now. Their Atlas Peak, it was one of my favorites. Atlas Peak is in a Napa AVA, one of my favorites.
Yes,
not necessarily from Cabernet, but for Zin, sometimes Merlot.
And so to jump out of California, we love Horse Heaven Hills. It's just, and we haven't really gone up the food chain in Horse Heaven Hills, but for budget entry price stuff, I've always loved it. It's just fantastic. And
I think, though, there are some wineries that trade on that name a little bit.
I'll give you that. That's fine. But
then some wineries have gotten too big for their britches. And their quality, I mean, Chateau Saint Michel, I mean, they're throwing everything fucking to the wall. I mean, didn't they do that Born of Fire crap? And they're doing all sorts of crap.
I just saw
Born of Fire Chardonnays for sale for $7.89.
Yeah, but Born of Fire was awful. But that.
But I mean, but they it's them. They did it. You know. It's kind of weird. I don't know why. It's just why. Yeah, Columbia Crest. They have so many lines, you know. Some of it's okay, some of it is not okay. You know, some of it you're like, what the fuck? And it's so cheap, I'd rather drink anything. They have the H3, they have their base, they have the Grand Reserve, they have you know, they have the Indian Wells, which is typically good.
Yes.
But the problem is, there's a lot of things that are typically good. I mean, I can find good in a lot of different price ranges. I might have to switch up the varietal I'm drinking, but I can find typically good anywhere.
Chateau Saint Michel, Sauvignon Blanc, $17 from the Horse Heaven Hills. I've not had that.
Really,
I've not had that.
Made me excited.
We like the Canoe Ridge, the Merlot.
Those are good wines.
Yeah.
But you're talking close to what this costs, too. Canoe Ridge is pretty expensive. But, you know, all good wines, but getting around to them, getting them bought is difficult because I have a lot of fun with just a $20 Grand Vin Bordeaux. Hell, I enjoy freaking Kirkland's Grand Vin Bordeaux. I love it.
But you're cheap and are probably going to get kicked out of a local soccer league because you're using bad language.
No, that's not me. But anyway, but I like that wine. It's enjoyable. I mean, if I'm talking about cheap and cheerful, at $7, fuck. Yeah, that stuff is
AVAs,
delicious.
You know, obviously we're suckers for Bordeaux, period, end of
discussion. Oh, yeah.
Well, you're
within Bordeaux, Pouillac is great.
Technically, you're talking cabs and Zins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The mountainous regions, we both love the AVAs up there in the mountainous regions.
Well, who
California.
Does?
Well, the people I've shown Turley don't always care for those as much as some of the others. I just, you know, Howl Mountain. It, it's just for the value that we pay buying directly. I think it's as good as it's the quality for value quotient of Turley's Howl Mountain. I'll stack it up against anything. It's just so damn good, so consistent. Freaking rock star, right? And it and you know, granted, there's personal bias with that. It's what we love, but would I rather have five bottles of that or a $250 bottle of Monticello? You know, the Ridge we were talking about.
Montebello.
I think I'd rather have the five bottles of Howl Mountain.
Yeah, but you're gonna do both anyway, so it's
well.
No, I would do
Montebello. Am I?
I would do the Montebello.
Am I gonna do both
from certain vintages?
Yeah, I've not done it yet. We've had the conversation about Montebello.
I'll just buy right
previously.
Now.
Ridge just Montebello. Buy it. Just do it.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, by the case, it's 2.25.
Well, you get a discount. Yeah.
Yeah.
The 6-bottle case.
No, it's not. Oh, it's not. No, it's not a 6-bottle case. A dozen or more bottles, you get it for 2.25.
It's cheap at half the price.
Go
Why
ahead.
Not two cases? You get more.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. And Becky won't mind when it gets delivered.
Well, she'll be like, oh, you spent more than $50. Yeah. Yes, I did. It's strange, though, if she sees a single bottle box now. She really can zero in. I did order two bottles from wine.com this week. One was this, and the other one was the Martinelli Good Zin, their Ghost Block. About that from. So
there's
actually I've been buying a lot of Zin recently. The Marietta Cellars Angeli Estate Zinfandel from Alexander Valley.
Okay.
95 from Parker, 95 from James, and 93 from the Enthusiast. Or, no, from the Spectator.
Very nice.
From the Tater.
Very nice.
I know.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. We have the their bin 73 that's been in the queue for a little bit too long. We need to get it on the show, so hopefully we'll do that in the next couple weeks. But
dang it.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. So, the 2021 M by Mac and Billy. Cabernet from Paso Robles, California. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine that we drank very quickly?
We did. And
but did we like it?
Did we like it? It's a drinker, that's for sure. But at the end of the day, I think that's its most esteemed quality for me. I've enjoyed it. It's just falling a little flat for me. It like now as I consume it, I'm not able to pick out all these different characteristics that it felt like were there at the beginning. I don't know what that's all about. It's got a great finish. It's not the best finish, but the oakings done really well. The star of the show is the tannic backbone for this wine. Winemaker that, although wine guy made fun of them wearing their sunglasses at night,
black on black,
didn't like the beard,
bowling shirt.
But is it
fat?
Yeah, I called you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny.
He looks like a guy that goes to Thailand by himself.
Easy, 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 easy.
Just saying.
Looks like a guy who goes to Chipotle.
What's wrong with that?
Looks like a guy who goes to Chipotle. That's all I'm going to say.
No, he goes to Taco Bell.
Nah, I'm going Chipotle.
Del Mar Taco or Taco Del Mar. Yeah.
Ooh.
You get a cheeseburger there, too.
Oh.
Yeah, you can. We went there.
Can I get 6 soft tacos, yeah, extra sour cream?
They have a 50-cent taco.
Nah.
They do. It's tiny, but it's a snack taco. Oh, he's getting 100 of those.
That's like one mouthful taco?
Well,
maybe 2 bites?
It's basically what a soft taco non-supreme was at Taco Bell like 5 years ago.
That's a lot of information.
They put a little lower quality cat food in it. So,
ouch. Taco Del Mar.
Del Taco. Del Taco is what it's called.
Del Taco.
Yeah.
Back to the wine.
Mm-hmm. Give it a score.
88 of my points.
88.
I feel mixed about it. We really enjoyed it. We it's a drinker, but I'm not sure what redeeming qualities it has.
To us.
To anybody.
Well, I'm going to jump in.
It's fallen flat for me. That's just the bottom line. It just has, and I feel like I've overcome my Paso bias.
You haven't.
I you know, my first mouthful, I felt there was a floral thing. I thought there was a little minerality. Where is that at? And similarly, you talked about the tobacco. You're going to tell me that tobacco is still present now? It's just not. There's something about this wine that the Paso plummy is overwhelming us, overwhelms the characteristics of the wine. I do think it's well made and well crafted, but that's where I'm at, 88. I want to give it a higher score, but it's just over the course of drinking it, it's just falling a little flat for me.
It's falling a little flat?
Where it should open up and express more, and it just doesn't.
And now it's me. I'm going to give this wine a score based on the fact that of its technical accomplishments. Not on my love of it scale. My love of it scale is basically what Scott gave it. Maybe it's maybe even a little bit lower than that. But I believe it deserves a 90. For Paso, and for the style, it is an excellent example. If you like a more Paso chocolate style or cherry bomb, whatever you want to call it, this wine fits that mold, and it transcends that a little bit. It's so good that the damn Decatur's dry. We liked it.
We drank it.
It has weight. The weight might be holding it back somewhat. Its bombastic mid-palate might be slowing it down for us because we can't pull out the nuances that are there. They're there. They're just under layer and layer and layer. What sold me, though, was the poll where we kind of took a pause, cleansed our palates, and drew air again. And it showed a wildly tight tannic wine, you know? And that pull was, in a certain sense to me, delicious in the bare bones of the tight tannic structure. I love that. It's just everything else that doesn't necessarily speak my language. It doesn't tug on the heartstrings. I think I said that. Because I don't really like the flavors that Paso puts out. And the flavors they came across and they pushed in this wine. Now they, the guy with the black sunglasses, probably loves this. This is really what sings to him because he's down there. That's what he grows. That's what he's around. That's what he loves. That's him. It speaks to where they are. It's a sourced wine, but it doesn't come across that way. It doesn't taste homogenized or messed up in that regard. Yeah, it's oaked, but the oak is well done. It's shown that the people that are making it know what they're doing. Even if he did start the Four Vines Winery. I mean, obviously, he didn't involve himself in the oaking because somebody competent did that. So it's competent winemaking, good eye for sourcing grapes.
Yeah.
You know, and they did something in a challenging climate, in my opinion, to make wines that aren't objectionable. And they made a wine that we drank so quickly that we didn't even stop to think about it. First of all, that's what the Paso drinker wants. They want something that's very drinkable.
100%.
And this wine is. But it transcends that. If you slow down, if you held it for 2 or 3 years, it's going to lengthen out. It's going to soften.
We think.
Yeah. And the wine is really probably going to be really good. Am I going to buy more of it? I'm not. So there's the caveat to that. Yeah, I'm giving it a 90. Yeah. But I'm not going to really buy it again because I'm just going to take my $30 and I'm going to put it elsewhere on wines I know I like. Not wines that don't really speak my language. But that's fine.
It's weird because neither of us are like enthralled by this.
No, we're not.
I gave it an 88. You gave it a 90. And we're drinking the shit out of it.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with an 88. It just has too much tannin structure, too much power. It just doesn't have a lot of the grace.
If you're a Paso cab drinker, buy this. Try it.
You should.
Maybe it'll be your thing.
If you're drinking J. Lore, find a train, jump in front of it.
Easy.
Or switch to M.
So,
or Dow or Justin or anything
else. My cousin loves Justin. I think he would be one to try this.
I would stick with Justin. I prefer Justin because Justin is subtle. Justin knows what it is. Justin is the perfect steakhouse wine. It used to be some other things where they weren't that you want a very approachable cab-esque wine that is sleek, that can be paired with any dish that you're serving that's red meat, and that is just a lovely drink. That's Justin. It used to be this wine called Silver Oak or Jordan, but those wines cost too fucking much. Justin, to me, now is that wine. Is it a wine that you hold back a case to age? No. Justin isn't ageable. This wine
might be.
And it might taste like Justin in 2 or 3 years. But guess what?
Justin tastes like Justin now.
Yes, it does.
Now, I'm going to quote my close and dear friend, Stephen A. Smith. However, what this wine has that Justin doesn't have, this is bigger.
Yeah, it's bigger.
It's got a tannic profile that really is a rock star. And this is really well handled. The oaking of this is really, really well done. And, you know, at the beginning of the episode, sourced 7 different districts, 9 different vineyards, some stupid amount of places they sourced this from. Not that we knew any of them. Fucking where the fuck these vineyards were. Bento? I don't know. I know
Wilderness.
Somewhere, Jack.
I know Wilderness. That's where I leave my victims.
You should be in the wilderness.
I would tie them to a tree in the wilderness and leave them for dead. So I didn't technically kill them, Scott.
Yeah.
No.
Sure.
No, I didn't.
How's that trip to Iceland working out, Wilfred?
Iceland? But I would go there. I don't have a passport. They won't give one to me.
I think I would do this wine again with an open mind and revisit it. I don't know why, but from the beginning of the bottle to now, I don't appreciate it as much. Like my first pull on this, I really, really, really loved it. And there's just something that's happened across the wine. I can't necessarily explain it. It's just not my favorite thing. And I gave it an 88, and it deserves an 88. It's weird. I can't remember a wine like this before because at first I kind of sort of loved it.
It's not for you, but you realize there are people that really like this wine and should drink it.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you. This is the highest score I've ever given to a wine I didn't really love.
It's weird, though, because I kind of sort of did love it at first.
It was better initially, and then your mouth just kind of said, really?
Too much fucking Paso Plum.
Well, you say that. I think that I can ignore that. I don't mind that. I just think that the wine is too much of a... It punches too hard too early, and then that cancels out or blocks a lot of the nuance that you think is there.
I'll tell you what's changed in it for me for certain. Do you feel now at the end of the bottle that it's demonstrating as much astringency and acidity that it did at the beginning? I love the kiss of acidity at the beginning of the wine, and I don't feel that it's there anymore. But the astringency, It was a nicely astringent wine, and now, but, as I look at these last 2 ounces, I'm like, it's not an astringent wine.
But to Scott's point, and then we'll end the episode. I think the mid palate punches too hard, but if it was blackberry and cassis in the front palate, I wouldn't care. So
I agree with that 100%.
Yes.
and I just wish it had a little more of that mid palate chocolatiness. I wish it was a little bit more like Justin.
Yeah. So for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.